And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. Happy Monday. How we doing?
Doing all right. Foggy out there if you're driving. So be real careful. Like, I think you and I come from opposite directions, and both
heavy fog.
Thick fog. So it seems like it's pretty blanketed around here. So if you're not noticing that already, if you're driving, you probably notice. But maybe if you're listening, about to start driving,
yeah.
You know, this is a PSA.
I mean, there was one point coming down this big hill that I always have to come down that it was about 6 feet in front of me was my visibility. I was like, that's about all I got. About 6 feet. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Don't use the high beams.
Yeah. That was some people did not abide by that rule. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you, Nick Frazier, for filling in for me for a couple days.
Yes.
Had some stuff to take care of with the fam. But, not a great football weekend. Bad weekend of picks. All the
for
teams.
Me and you, not all, for this guy.
Yeah.
This guy bets against his teams and he kicks butt.
And then all the local teams lost. At least I'm beating Joe in fantasy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's my saving grace this week.
Badly.
But yeah, doing good. Happy Monday, everybody.
Was, as Ian mentioned, not a very good weekend on the local football front. You had Vanderbilt. You know, I said last week, Joe, maybe this is my fault. You know, Clark Lee's done a really good job of – they've been ready to play every time, ready to go right out of the gate. And that was not the case on Saturday against Texas. I mean, they were just absolutely blitzed by Texas in that game. Ended up making a game out of it, and they lose by 34-31 to Texas over the weekend. Tennessee is basically eliminated from the college football playoff after a very disappointing performance against Oklahoma at home. And the Titans lost, and that's what the Titans do. But the Titans, at least, kind of exciting. They're in the first half. You had a pick six from Cody Barton. You had a return for a touchdown from Chim Dike, who may be their best player out there. It's fun to see on that front, but a loss for the Vols, a loss for the Titans, a loss for Vanderbilt this weekend, Joe. Not good. Not good around here.
No, but the Titans covered. Titans never cover.
They did.
So give them that. Yeah, but it's one of those things where if you told us last week you guys are going to be talking Monday about a 27-20 Titans loss, then it'd be like, okay, all right, well, they got to 20. Problem is they got to 20 with a pick six and a punt return. They scored 6 points with their offense.
Yes.
With their awesome, hey, guys, I got an idea. Let's try this thing called the Wildcat. Let's give the Wildcat a try on some key moments. What?
Let's go Wildcat, and let's pick up 0 yards while doing it.
Yeah. So the offense continues to be buns, but, yeah, they were competitive. Like you said, Vanderbilt, I mean, the first play of the game, it's like, okay, that is – I mean, it was just awful. And just no tackling, I mean, no bad angles, the tackling, the defense in this game for Vanderbilt was really bad. Now,
yep.
Like you said, they fought back. But if you watch that game, it was really a lopsided game. And, yeah, it's just Tennessee, man. Maybe it's just as simple as at some point Joey Aguilar, I don't want to put it all on him, but at some point maybe some of the turnover stuff that we were all worried about coming the year was going to surface. And especially one of those picks where it's like, it doesn't look like he looked.
And then he predetermined it. Yeah.
Yeah, and the safety's like, thank you. Too bad, because they actually had a chance to run them out of the building in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, they got up quickly in the game. It was 7-0, and they were driving again. And then there's the fumble where they pick it up and run all the way back for a touchdown. But even at one point in the second quarter, and even at halftime, they had more than doubled them up in the yardage. Like, if you would have told me heading into the game that Tennessee's defense was going to play as well as they did, I'd have been like, well. Okay, I mean, you're probably going to win by a couple touchdowns if that's the case, but that did not play out that way. So we'll get specifically into the Vols a little bit later in the show, because there is a lot of noise out there in the aftermath of that one, so we will get into that a little bit later in the program. We will get into Vanderbilt a little bit later in the program as well. The margin for error for Vanderbilt is now gone, so Going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Still the college football playoff picture around them. A lot of football left to be played, a lot more left to be determined on that front, but disappointing result for Vanderbilt and Clark Lee over the weekend. And like I said, the Titans, 27-20. I mean, if you told me heading into the game the Titans would cover and they did pick up six sacks against the Chargers, I'd have said, really? Okay. I mean, the Chargers' offensive line, number one, I mean, you had Joe Alt get caught off the field yesterday. He's already been dealing with injuries. You had Bobby Hart out there who got hurt in the game. And they're already going through it on the offensive line. And then he just got hurt again and again yesterday. And the Titans, to their credit, had some plays where they were able to take advantage of it. I mean, Jahad Ward had 2.5 sacks yesterday. So who knows? Maybe his trade deadline value is going up right here before the deadline over the next couple of days.
I must say, I mean, that guy is of the team, the players on this team who you would say, who has exceeded expectations this year? You know, I think Chim Dike has been, he's probably become the story, right? Like he's an exciting player.
Yeah.
I'm racking my brain.
Cedric Gray.
Okay. There you go. Cedric Gray, maybe Skoronski.
Yep.
You know? But
that's about it.
Yeah. It's not a long list. Ward is, you know, he's had some great moments. So you're right. I mean, seriously, like Ward.
Jay Ward. Yep.
Key. I think any of these guys, Draymond Jones, I mean, any of them, I think, could potentially be moved. And, yeah, if you're another team looking around, it's like that guy's got a little bit of juice to him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a defense. And they were talking about this on the CBS broadcast yesterday. Every time they drop back into zone, it just kind of felt like they had no chance out there. LA was running some zone beaters. And again, you look out there and it's like Jalen Armour Davis is just kind of just running around all over the place out there. And it's like, well, that's not good. As Denard Wilson said last week, he's a guy who we have on the roster that I must coach out there on defense.
He plays.
So there's still, I mean, clearly some problems there. I mean, look, they had a 99-yard drive yesterday, so it's not like the defense was out there and just stonewalled them or anything. But six sacks on Justin Herbert was certainly a step in the positive direction that way. So,
well, like
the small wins.
Yeah, the pass rush, I guess, speaking of like exceeding expectations, I mean, overall, it has been better this year. There have been some games where it's been non-existent, but it has been better this year overall.
Yeah.
Than I would have guessed. You know,
Chargers' whole line is pretty beat up.
It's
right
pretty bad.
I wonder how
no
much
question.
Alt goes down in the game, right?
Yeah, they're in trouble, and certainly that helps. But again, I mean, this crew, I wouldn't expect them to necessarily have success against patchwork offensive lines of the worst variety.
Yeah,
and so they've at least done a little bit of that, and they score a touchdown. I mean, that's like a tiny little bit of help from your offense.
Yeah.
Might actually give you a chance to win a game like this. But the Titans' offensive line was on brand in this game, too.
It was. The man door was opened a couple times in that
game. Wide open.
Wide open in that one, and that was not good. And also, I mean, we'll get into the passing game. You know, Ward missed some throws that you just can't miss. I mean, there's one on third down that Van Jefferson is just – I mean, you could have punted the ball to him. He's wide open in the middle of the field. And he just missed it. I don't know if the ball was slipping out of his hand or what happened
well,
there.
His feet were like.
Yeah, it was just brutal.
He was like trying to do the split. It's like he did a great job of eluding the defender and buying time, and then he doesn't set his feet for the throw. And it's like 8 yards short.
Yeah.
That's a great example of just can you get to the point where it's automatic that you get your feet together and can – because, you know, when he does – he can rip it. But, yeah, that was one that could have been a huge play. He wasn't just wide open. He was wide open enough where he catches it and he can turn and, you know, make, you know, really do something on that play.
Well, even on the first drive of the game for the Titans, I think maybe the first play of the game, Ward escapes pressure from Khalil Mack, rolls out to his right, and throws one right in line for Io Manor, and he just drops it. It's like, man. I understand that drops are going to happen at some point along the way. Can we not drop the first one? Like, can you set a tone a little bit offensively before you start dropping passes out there? So, again, like, you look at the score, and it's like, well, they scored 20, and, you know, sometimes they can't do that, but it had, you know, nothing to do with the offense, including, by the way, a goal line stand by the Chargers defense where the Titans just could not punch it in Chargers territory there. So, you end up scoring two touchdowns, neither one of them come from the offense. And it's another day where you look at the offense there and it's like, well, Ward, his numbers are not very good. He missed some throws that you can't miss. They actually, when they weren't trying to screw around with Wildcat, got a little bit more out of Tony Pollard than they have. I mean, he averaged 5-6 a carry yesterday. But the problem is they just, you know, Spears wasn't that good running the football yesterday. They just could never put anything all together. And that's how you end up 1-8, which is what they are.
Yeah. But Pollard, he did look better. And, again, there's another guy, potentially, I guess, who could be on the move.
We'll see.
You know, I don't know. I wonder what team out there is like, you know, got to have that guy. You know, he's not going to be anybody's starter. Like the Cardinals are in some duress at running back, but, like, are they buying right now?
Probably not.
I mean, there's probably somebody I'm not thinking of, but it's possible.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, look, over the next 2 days, I'd be fielding a lot of calls if I'm Mike Borgonzi and the Tennessee Titans to see what all you could piece together. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show, too. How do we think the NFL trading deadline is going to set up? But the Titans fall 27-20 yesterday to the L.A. Chargers. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's welcome in Chad in Hendersonville to the program. Chad, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What'd y'all think of J.J. McCarthy yesterday? You know, Colin Cowherd he's brilliant at this. You could go and find two posts on him. One, J.J. McCarthy's going to be a bust. And then you go over to the other one, and it says, oh, this guy's the next Baker Mayfield, which is always why I say covering your bases. Maybe the weatherman can do some of that, right? It's going to rain tomorrow and then do another now that you got social media. It's probably not going to rain tomorrow. And then we just bump, copy, and paste, you know, the one that we need. Your thoughts.
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. I mean, he was 14-25 for 143 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, quarterback rating of 82.6.
I think he's going to be good. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be great, but, again, he can run around. He made a huge throw at the end on third down, you know, a fade to Naylor. That was a perfect pass that clinches the game. He has looked bad, and he had that incredible, like, fourth quarter against the Bears, right? And then he's looked bad. He's going to look up and down. He's basically a rookie. But, if I'm a Vikings fan, I'm optimistic. I think he's got a chance to be pretty good.
Yep. We'll see what happens on that front, but good to see them, you know, finally put him back on the field.
That's
a long
true.
Ankle injury.
That is true. The Wentz wagon finally broke down. Also, the Lions are not going to the playoffs. I just want you to know right now. They're not going to the playoffs.
We'll see. We'll see. Titans lose 27-20 to the LA Chargers. So, I guess the last couple of games, Joe, before this, obviously the final score didn't go well, but there were some moments in the game where you looked at Cam Ward and it felt like maybe some progress was being made out there. Like, you know, the numbers were a little bit better. He made some good decisions with the ball. It wasn't perfect. Like, it wasn't like he had, you know, great games or anything like that, but some progress being made. I did not really feel that way walking out of yesterday's game. Like, he wasn't horrific or anything yesterday, but I just thought missed some throws that you can't miss, made some decisions that were questionable at times did not get a lot of help from his receivers. You know, we talk about DK, made a great play in the return game. I guess the disappointing part of that yesterday from an offensive perspective was the carryover from 1 week to the next offensively wasn't really there. He had 7 for 93 against the Colts. And then yesterday ends up with 1 catch for 5 yards on 3 targets. So they were not able to kind of continue that on the offensive side of things. But what's your takeaway specifically from Ward and the offense yesterday after it felt like maybe some progress there from Ward the previous 2 weeks? I just kind of felt like it was a lot of bleh yesterday from the Titans offense.
Yeah, I mean, up and down again, the one we already talked about was the one that really stood out to me of like a great example of this is what you got to – because sometimes you don't have time, and sometimes you're under duress, and so you just have to get rid of the ball. But he did a great job of buying himself time, and then – I mean, seriously, if you look – like, slow that down and look at – like, his feet are, like, spread wide apart, pointed to either sideline.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a great example of like, man, that's a rare opportunity to just gather yourself and just make a nice, easy throw for a huge play. And, yeah, like you said, it looked like maybe it slipped out too, but I still think the footwork is the biggest issue on that play where you don't even give yourself a chance to make a play. Yeah, he made some good throws. I agree that, like, last week it felt like, okay, that's a step. Is this week a step back? I don't know. Or maybe it's just idling. But then, you know, you get into – I mean, some of these drives also – have a chance, you know, you're doing the wildcat thing with some of these drives, and look, you said earlier, Mandor, I mean, there's some plays where it's just like no chance at all.
Yeah,
just absolutely terrible pass pro reps from your left tackle, which is so like the, yeah, I start talking about other things around Cam Ward. I just, there weren't that many things from him that I thought were like problematic, but also it wasn't great. It didn't look great. I mean, it's just sort of a, yeah, like the blah is a good way to describe it.
Yeah, and really that's with how depleted their defense is, and we'll find out if it's even more depleted over the next couple of days here. You know, 27 points by the Chargers, not all that unexpected. Like, it just, they're going to struggle defensively the rest of the year to keep people off the scoreboard because they just don't have guys out there, right? Like, they don't have – I mean, we're talking about, at this point, all three of your starting corners from the beginning of the year are gone. You didn't have Jeffrey Simmons in the game again yesterday. That's a huge problem, obviously. You know, they did a better job getting after the passer than I thought, even with a depleted Chargers offensive line. I was like, well, if you're the Chargers – and there's a matchup that you feel good about with the offensive line, it'd probably be this one going up against the Titans. And the Titans, to their credit, stepped in there and did a pretty good job rushing Justin Herbert and making him uncomfortable yesterday. But even that, like, Herbert got him a few times running, right? Which is something I know they're leaning in to him doing more this year. But, you know, 9 carries for 57 yards on the ground from the quarterback position yesterday. So as good of a job as they did rushing the passer, sometimes they didn't contain him and he just broke loose and took off there. So, like, defensively, I think at this point with the defense, we know what it is. They're going to struggle out there. They just don't have enough guys that are quality NFL players to hold teams off. Now, they ended up holding them to 7 points in the second half there. So, in some ways, it was about as good of a job from the defense as you could have expected yesterday. They're just not very talented. Offensively, like I said, you start the game off and, like, the first pass of the game is dropped by Io Manor. They just the wildcat stuff. And I know at the end of the day, I think they ran a total of 3 wildcat plays. So it's not like it was, you know, some crazy part of their offense. But some of the timing of when they ran them, it's like, well, I don't know. You just turn around and hand the ball off to Tony Pollard 2 plays ago and he ran for 8 yards. Do we really think we need to line up in the wildcat and go that way? Just it feels like the offense cannot get out of their own way. And that's a huge problem.
Yeah. They don't have – it continues to be just disjointed. You know, I saw – I think it was Easton Freeze tweeted, like, you know, another game where, like, the play calling is worse, like, since they've got rid of Callahan. I'm like, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I mean, the Wildcat stuff's bad. But I don't know that it's really gotten especially worse or better since they fired Callahan. I think it's just kind of a lot of the same, isn't it? You know, like, we had the whole thing that after the first day, I was like, oh, this is clearly better with some listeners, and we didn't really buy that, and I don't think that it's necessarily clearly worse either. It's just there's limitations all over the place, and you know, sometimes with the quarterback too, you know. And then, yeah, you do have some weird stuff, for sure. I mean, some of the lack of aggression that we've seen from McCoy, the Wildcat stuff yesterday, when he gave a great explanation, apparently, on that, too. I mean, Kaharski.
The defense stopped it. Good stuff, Mike.
I just saw,
well done.
Saw some Kaharski was like, here's a cliche, McCoy. Here you go. So he absolutely can't stand him. I think Mike McCoy might end up being his least favorite Titans coach of all time. He's, the poor guy's going to be here for like 6 weeks.
Let me tell you, that's saying something.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I shouldn't. I mean,
it's very efficient work.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, what happened on the Wildcat play there? Oh, the defense stopped. All righty.
Thank you. But, you know, if you're Mike McCoy too, you know. You know, like Brian Callahan really, really missed his opportunity to go out blazing and just rip Kaharski.
I agree.
When he's asking the stupid questions about, oh, the two-minute offense. How come that doesn't always happen all game? And Callahan could have just trashed him on the way out, and he took the high road. I'd say Mike McCoy, just go out and, you know, either stop answering his questions or, like, you know, give him some crap. But it's just boring all the way around. The pressers, the offense, the team. But I promise you this. Let me make a guarantee to you guys right now.
Okay.
The Tennessee Titans will not lose this week.
Yep. I think you're right.
Thank you.
I think you might be onto something there on that front.
Right.
May not win this week either.
Thank you.
That's okay. Right. Can I take a small victory lap real quick? Because, you know, we say enough stupid stuff on this show where sometimes we just got to sit there and celebrate the little wins. You know, I think back to before the year. We had our predictions. What was the record I had for the Tennessee Titans at the bye week? It was 1-8.
Dang, did you really?
I did.
Good job. Okay.
Titans fans got really mad at me, too.
Well, now we're expecting 4 wins post-bye, right?
Yes. I had them beating, I think, Cleveland, New Orleans, and I believe Jacksonville both times on principle because I couldn't stand the thought of them getting beat by, you know, Liam Cohen and the teenager.
It's possible.
So we'll see how that goes.
They survived the Raiders yesterday. That is a 1-8. Yeah. That looks good. I don't know that you're going to look good at the end of the year, but you still look better than me, who picked 6 wins for the Titans this year. What'd you pick?
I think I had 5.
I think you had 5, yeah.
Of course, I'm the optimistic one with 6.
Yeah.
Not happening.
1-8 at the bye. That's good job. Where they are. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Titans front. We will do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Alex on the text line says, I'm sure you guys already discussed it. I know the coaching staff not intentionally trying to lose. I just can't come up with any other explanation for those short yardage play calls. Surely they can't be that incompetent. Yeah, the Wildcat was bad. Also, like, can they not run, you know, effective quarterback sneaks? Like, are the Titans the one team that can't do that?
Yeah, I've seen some back and forth on that, and
Chargers had a few tush pushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, Justin Herbert's big, strong dude. So there's a big difference in size between these two quarterbacks, right? I mean, I would guess that Herbert probably outweighs Cam by 30, 40 pounds without looking at it. I could be wrong. But Ward's not a big guy, so he's not necessarily your first pick for a QB sneak, but it doesn't mean you can't do a QB sneak.
Put Gunnar Helm out there.
Yeah, you can always do that. Yeah, some of these teams do the tight end thing. Yeah. I mean, again, you can also just, like, I mean, Pollard is a, you know, you can
turn a hand
powerful running. Yeah, you can give it to your running back and go get a yard. I don't know. Again, maybe it's like, you know.
About 17-pound difference.
17? Okay. I mean, Herbert, you know, like, Herbert is one of those guys in the league that I would think of first on a sneak, along with, obviously, Hurts and Allen and some of those guys.
Well, the big difference is Herbert is 6'6", and what's Cam? 6'1"?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Stretch that ball. You know, there's a lot of things you can do differently. This is, you know, like, it's not like teams never do direct snaps or never do Wildcat, but, yeah, like, one failed attempt of that seems okay, and then after that it's kind of like, you're gonna keep going to the well on this, really? So yeah, I don't think it's like a tank thing. I think they are trying to win, and
they're just not equipped.
They just can't. So I'm sorry to tell you, they just can't. Okay, so they're gonna find a way not to.
Yep. Lenny says, why does Cam not run? I know he ran twice yesterday, but he had other opportunities to do so. Like, I think from watching him this year, Joe, it's pretty clear that he does not want to run.
Yeah.
Which, like, in general, I don't have a huge problem with. Like, you know, it's not like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Matt Stafford and pick a lot of guys around the league that are out there just looking to run all the time. I do think there are times where it's there for him, and he passes it up, and it's not like he's incapable of running. You know, he's not Michael Vick out there, so he's never going to be that. But I do think there are some times where he's got a lane where maybe he can go pick up 7 yards, and instead he'll try to throw it 28 yards down the field in double coverage. And it's like, man, maybe on that play, just go pick up the 7 yards and live to fight another down at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I like a quarterback who, when they run into open space, the eyes are still downfield, and it's about because I think for the most part, you're going to be better off if you can do that as opposed to just tucking it head down trying to run. There are definitely some times when he should choose run. He should choose run more often than he does. So I think it's a matter of just finding that. Again, he's never going to be a great runner. He's not fast. Like I said, I think he's pretty elusive. He does a good job of moving around the pocket and eluding people and buying more time. But I agree. I think that he could do it a little more often and just find that balance in the game for sure.
Yeah, and again, like the offense, it needs all the plays it can get. And they're just so they're so big play deficient. And when you're as big play deficient as this offense is, then you got to basically be perfect driving down the field and not make colossal mistakes. And that's how they end up not scoring any points every game, is because it's hard for this team as currently constructed to be perfect moving down the field. And again, I mean, that's probably the most disappointing thing on offense yesterday, is it felt like against Indianapolis they found something with DK in the passing game, and it just didn't really happen for him yesterday. One catch for 5 yards on 3 targets. Now, again, you watch him, and he's explosive as all get out in the return game, and I still think they've got something there, but I would have liked to have seen them go his way a little bit more in the passing game than they did yesterday.
Yeah, you feel good about him because of the big play he made, you know, and so he continues the, wow, DK is a player. But, yeah, it's hard to understand how he has so few targets and when he has demonstrated that he's this kind of a weapon. A little bit of a better day for Aya Manor.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, you'd like to see both of them getting going, especially with Ridley out. Texture says, Cam Ward is bigger than Jalen Hurts, but they allow him to do the tush push. I don't know if you've heard, but Jalen Hurts squats like 630 pounds. Like, I mean.
Jalen Hurts may be one of like the strongest players in the NFL.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts is basically a fullback at quarterback, but yeah. So that's probably part of the reason there, I'm guessing.
Tell Cam to get in the weight room and start working on the squats.
Get in there, man. Yeah, what can you squat? Yeah, measuring cheek size. The quarterback squat, I would feel confident in saying that of the quarterback squat list, that Jalen Hurts would be number one.
I would agree.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's number two? Josh Allen?
Yeah, you figure it's probably someone shorter, right? I mean, squatting is easier if you're squattier.
Kyler Murray?
Yeah, that might be a good pick. Yeah, that might be a good pick, Kyler.
Does he go to the weight room, or is he playing Call of Duty?
Is he benched this week tonight?
You can work. You can do a leg workout while playing Call of Duty.
That's true. Yeah,
I think.
I'm not sure. Did he get benched for Brissett, is he still hurt?
I think he's hurt.
I got to be honest with you. Since the Titans went in there and just stole a win from the jaws of defeat, I've not kept up much with what the Arizona Cardinals have done.
Yeah, yeah. They're speaking of quarterback injuries, dislocated elbow for
Look.
It was pretty gross.
That just happened? Okay, I'm not looking. No. Brandon
Daniels, yep.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough for them. Boy, that's bad. Brandon says Ward is pudgy. I don't think he's pudgy. He's not pudgy, is he?
I mean, look. You're not going to find me sitting here on the radio talking about how the professional athletes are pudgy out there. Sorry.
Except Tavondre Sweat.
It's not good. And yeah, like, and even that's, he's fun pudgy, right? Like he's a massive human being. Right. But no, I don't know that Cam Ward is pudgy.
Jared says, I don't think he can squat 150. He's skinny fat with a gut. He doesn't have a gut.
Are we
body shaming Cam? Have we gotten to the point of body shaming Cam Ward now? This is where we are in football season. The 1-8 Titans. Let's talk about the quarterback's body. You know, he's got a strange mole on his ear.
It would be nice to see. The one thing I'm concerned about with his body right now is, can he get his feet pointed in the direction of the football when he's throwing it?
Yeah.
That'd be what I'm concerned about with a body.
Yeah.
Can you get your feet not you're doing the splits out there as you're trying to throw the ball?
Yeah, like the opposite of pigeon-toed while throwing.
It's amazing.
Work on that. I don't think he has a gut.
I mean, on that one miss to Jefferson yesterday, I was like, did somebody tip that? And I just didn't see it. And then you saw the replay, and it's like, no, there was no one around Cam Ward or Van Jefferson on that play, and he just totally missed. Ugh.
Yeah, no, that was classic. That was absolutely like here you go. This is what you need to work on. Like, you can't have plays like that. Again, if you got guys bearing down on you, that happens, but you didn't. You know, maybe he thought he did. I don't know.
Some news in the NFL to pass along. The Miami Dolphins have traded edge rusher Jalen Phillips.
Oh, boy.
Take one guess to where? The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, my gosh.
In exchange for a 2026 third-round pick.
Load them up, baby.
The Eagles have already traded for Jair Alexander and Michael Carter, and now they've added Jalen Phillips to the mix as well, and they play Green Bay on Monday Night Football a week from today. So that'll be fun.
You know, other teams in this league, we'll see if it works out, but tip of the cap for me to the Eagles for understanding, you know, where you are, and if you have deficiencies, yeah, give up some picks, man. You know, make yourself better.
Yeah. Jalen Phillips.
That's a pretty good pickup.
To the Philadelphia Eagles. Cam on the text line asking, realistically, which Titans could see themselves on a different roster by the end of the week. We're going to get into that coming up next. It is deadline day in the NFL tomorrow. Which Titans could be on the move? We will take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
In various short yardage situations, you guys continue to go to the direct snap to the running backs. Not something you had done a lot before. Was there something that you saw? Why did you continue?
That's all part of game planning. I think as the offensive staff, when you go look at a game plan, how you're going to attack a certain opponent, there's certain things you always put in. And so when the staff put the plan together, you know, they had a lot of they thought this was the best thing to do. So,
did you read on why they didn't work?
The defense stopped them.
Did you see any schematic that surprised you?
No, it comes down to execution. We got to execute better in all four, not just those plays, but plenty of other plays during the game. I think our third down conversion rate was not great overall. So there's plenty of things. It's not just Wildcat that didn't work.
That was Mike McCoy yesterday after the game.
Those other guys designed the play, by the way. And we didn't execute. I like TD's question. It's kind of like, Mike, do you think it's still 2012 when the Wildcat was new?
Did you guys acquire...
Remember when the Dolphins were running it and everybody thought it was awesome?
Did you guys acquire Ronnie Brown this week?
God. Oh, man. Someone's asking. Every week we get a question of, has an interim coach ever been fired during the rest of the season when he's supposed to be the interim coach? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it'll happen, but it's a fair question.
Mike, we're moving on from you today. We're going to have Joe Rexrode be the coach for the rest of the year.
Nick Holtz, get in there, baby. Finally.
It's what they've been missing the whole time. Mike, why didn't that work?
Defense stopped it.
Good stuff. Good stuff there. So which Titans could be on the move as the NFL trade deadline approaches tomorrow? Well, you just saw a move in the NFL with Jalen Phillips going to from Miami to the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll see what more is in store today and what that looks like. But, Joe, as you look at the roster right now, who are some names that jump out to you who we could see on the move this week for the Tennessee Titans? And is there anybody that you think is realistically available / easily moved that can get a significant return for the Tennessee Titans?
Well, there's a lot of guys who are possible. We've talked about all of them. But there are a couple we haven't talked a lot about. This weekend in particular, there's definitely some buzz around the T'Vondre Sweat thing.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And then we haven't really talked about – I don't think we talked much last week about Chig. But that is interesting. And, you know, with Chig, I could see another team seeing him and saying, you know, put that guy in an offense where – like, we actually are efficient and competent, and we get the ball out to people who can catch the ball, and, you know, we can block for the quarterback, things like that. That guy might actually make some plays for us. I could see a team thinking that about Chig.
There was a significant tight end injury this weekend that could open up a spot.
That is true. So are you advocating for your Packers to trade for Chig?
I mean, they don't really have anybody else at the moment. They got Luke Musgrave, who can't stay on his own 2 feet. So, yeah.
Wow.
Why not?
Okay. Well, we've just arranged a trade. What will the – okay, so you're running your beloved Packers, who just lost to the Panthers, sorry, at home, and you are making this deal. What are you giving the Titans for Chig Okonkwo?
A fifth-round pick.
A fifth?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can the Titans, is there anything the Titans can do to get something other than Jeff, which we assume is not going to happen? Yep. By the way, are we going to start seeing him after the idle week play? Is that?
Don't know.
I mean, if he's not going to get traded, it'd be good to see him, you know, playing again. Is there any way the Titans could get like a fourth rounder or better from anything?
I mean, because some people's response to that would be Ridley, and it's like, well, Ridley hadn't played. Like, Ridley's been hurt.
Yeah.
And when he has played this year, the larger picture of it, he's been pretty bad. And some of that's him, some of that's probably not, but I don't think so. Like, I don't think you're getting, like, I don't think anybody's giving you a third or fourth round pick for Calvin Ridley right now.
Yeah. And this, what are you getting for DeAndre Swett? I mean, he's young. You got that. You got the rookie deal in place. He has some talent, but I mean, I'm looking at the guy. You know, since this is the body shaming edition of Robbie and Rex Road, I don't think he's kept himself in very good shape.
No,
yeah, I don't know if it's like again, you know, like what there were reports he was up in 360s his last year at Texas, which by the way, he made a ton of plays that year too, but. Yeah, I don't see a ton there. It looks like a bad pick. I mean, it looks like a bad pick in the second round. But also, it's like, I guess I'm not going to trade him. A couple things. As far as I know, they're like, there's no issue. Like, you know, we get the stuff with Bart Brownlee and all that. I don't think that's a thing. There was a lot of talk. Obviously, Sweat had gotten in some trouble and stuff like that coming in. So, As long as that's not a thing and you're not going to get anything significant, I think I'd probably keep him. I mean, he's a guy, you know, he's a rotational guy. He's not close to living up to a second round selection at this point.
No.
But he's also a young guy who, again, you need football players. You don't want to have to replace 40 football players next year, ideally. So I'd probably not move him unless someone really, really likes him.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're getting a big return for him, which – I don't think it's within the scope of reality. Would you not be better off just seeing how he plays the rest of the year and just challenging him as much as you can challenge a guy heading into next offseason to come back and be in good shape and be ready to go? Like, rather than just totally ripping it off and starting over there. Like that, again, it goes back to the conversation of let's say you're Borgonzi and you don't feel good about Sweat moving forward. Well, at some point, you got to stop creating needs for yourself and maybe fix that two seasons from now, not next season, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And look, Jeff Simmons this year, DeAndre Sweat has to be able to look to his left or right and see 98 and be like, well, that guy dropped, you know, 15 pounds or whatever, slimmed down, and look at what he's doing. And yeah. I understand they are different players and there's a – There's a big difference between the two and all that. But, like, still, there you go. You know, get yourself in better shape and make more plays. I mean, here and there he makes a play. But even as a – just as a – I mean, just watch how teams are running the ball against them. You know, he just hasn't really – to me, is not consistently excellent at anything at this point.
Well, he's certainly – drafting him where they did, it's not come close to living up with that. I mean, you're talking about taking, you know, a guy at his position, 38th overall. Like, the production just, it's not close to being what you need from somebody in that spot.
So, blame Ran. Don't blame Chad, though, even though he was also part of it.
I mean, at some point, though, if you're him, too, it's like, maybe we don't need to trade all of the guys that I've been a part of here. Like, can we leave some of them? So, maybe I got a little bit of a better look with the owner.
Yeah. Yeah, Borgonzi's like, let's get all the Brinker people out of here.
Let's get them out.
See if we can get Brinker out of here.
Let's get them out. Yeah, like beyond that, maybe somebody's interested in Pollard, maybe. But I think you're talking very minimal return on that front. And then beyond, I don't really know. Beyond like
Key, somebody like that. But yeah, it's same thing. Yeah, how many fifths?
How many sixths and sevenths are you getting? I mean, I'm not saying that you don't trade him because it's a sixth or a seventh, but I just don't know how much of the needle that you're moving, stockpiling sixth and seventh round draft picks.
Yeah, I would move anybody who I'm 100% convinced I have no interest in them next year and beyond. Go ahead. Load up on the six. Sure. Load up on the third day picks. Anybody who might be a part of this, the future of the team, though, I'm hesitating a little bit. And Chig is another one of those guys. Like, he hasn't been great, but actually I think this year you've seen some decent stuff out of him. He has some talent. You know, I don't think it's a bad thing to move forward. And then, you know, again, at some point you got to, what is it? I guess it would be this offseason when you'd make your second deal with him, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're resolved that you don't have interest in that, I don't think it's going to be that expensive.
I don't either.
Maybe you're just not interested. Okay, then go ahead. But could you talk yourself into a second deal with him? I think you could.
Well, and again, the reasoning for that, it goes back to just how many needs do you want to create for yourself on that front? Fast Eddie on the YouTube chat says, do you see a path forward where the Titans don't regret not trading out of the Ward pick? I think we're still way too early to determine that. I mean, the path forward is Ward playing good football and being a franchise quarterback. How far away are we from that right now? It seems like we're far away from it, but that's what it comes down to. Like, everybody's going to talk about the Giants pick. We're not going to really know for probably a couple years,
right,
as to whether or not that was the wrong move.
Exactly. Steven from the Borough says, in my opinion, the Titans got sold fool's gold. They overdrafted a QB who's insistent on being a pure pocket passer, but simply isn't good enough at this level. If he can't run, he's got nothing left. Yeah, I mean, no one thought Cam Ward was coming in here. He was a time buyer in college who ran every once in a while. He is a pocket passer. He just got to be better. If he's a good pocket passer, then
that's fine.
Great.
Yeah,
I agree that sometimes he needs to go ahead and take the 6 yards running the ball and things like that. But like, if you thought that they were getting a runner, then you didn't watch him playing college football.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Tennessee basically eliminated from the college football playoff discussion after a loss to Oklahoma over the weekend. We will get into that game. And what does it mean for Josh Heupel and the Tennessee program? That coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.